In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Question 417. What happens if we knowingly conceal a mortal sin in confession? If we knowingly conceal a mortal sin in confession, the sins we confess are not forgiven. Moreover, we commit a mortal sin of sacrilege. So better not to confess at all, if we're just going to lie about it. Question 418. What must a person do who has knowingly concealed a mortal sin in confession? Well, he must confess that he has made a bad confession. Tell the sin he concealed. Mention the sacraments he has received since that time. Confess all the mortal sins he has committed since his last good confession. So I have the bottom of page 198, little picture story there of a bad confession. John has four mortal sins. He goes to confession. He tells three, but is ashamed of the other, and he comes out with five. The biggest of them all is sacrilege. And so no matter how many times John goes to confession after this, no sin will ever be forgiven until he tells the one he deliberately left out. And as often as he goes to confession without telling this sin, all his confessions will be bad. If he goes to communion, this will be a sacrilege too. So this may not be possible to do exactly. In fact, it is sometimes impossible if a Catholic stays away from confession for a long time. But we do our level best. Better not to hide a sin than to have to try and remember it later on, years, perhaps decades later. I suppose we could quibble with the drawing just a little bit and say that it should have shown the boy going in with a pile of filthy garbage, not nice, neat little packages, and coming out in leg irons, maybe with a ball and chain in the thing, but it gets across the point, nonetheless, that the biggest of all those sins was the sacrilege that is piled on top of the others. Question 419. Why should a sense of shame and fear of telling our sins to the priest never lead us to conceal a mortal sin in confession? Well, the shame and fear of telling our sins to the priest should never lead us to conceal a mortal sin in confession because, first, it's a grave sacrilege. And also because the priest who represents Christ himself is bound by the seal of the sacrament of penance never to reveal anything that has been confessed to him. He must always keep his lips locked about what he hears in confession. One priest even died a martyr's death because he refused to reveal what he had heard in confession. His name was Saint John Nepomucene. And you have there just a picture of a big padlock over the priest's lips. The priest may not reveal anything to anyone at any time about what he hears in the confessional. So the reasons are in order. First, because it's wrong to break the seal. Second, let that shame, sense of shame and fear overcome us. Two, the priest keeps his mouth shut. Three, the shame is false, and it's really a temptation from the enemy. Fourth, it is foolish, given that hiding the sin makes everything worse. And fifth, hiding it is based on fantasy and unreality. We can't hide anything from God. It makes no sense to try and hide these things, not before God. Question 420. Why does the priest give us penance after confession? He gives us penance after confession that we might make some atonement to God for our sins, to receive help and to avoid them in the future, and make some satisfaction for the temporal punishment due to them. A word about temporal punishment. Once I got in a snowball fight as a little boy, I threw a snowball, hit the bay window of one of the neighbors down the street. Mr. Swenson came out, was quite angry about it. Of course, all the other boys just simply ran away when that occurred, and I sort of stood there frozen, not knowing what to do. And he came out and was quite angry about it. And I apologized, and he forgave me. And I started to walk away. He said, "Where do you think you're going?" I said, "Well, home." And he said, "No, we have work to do. There's broken glass and snow in my living room. So I needed to stay and help him clean it up." Well, the sin, if you will, was throwing the snowball. The forgiveness was my admitting to it and say, "Yes, I was the one who did it." And then there was forgiveness. But still, after sin, there's this damage that has been done, and it needs to be cleaned up. So that damage is what we call temporal punishment. And so I did the best I could to help him clean up. I didn't do a very good job cleaning up, didn't know how to clean up broken glass, but I held a bucket for him. That was something, I suppose. And just like when we try to repair the temporal punishment due to our sins, we don't do a very good job, especially with a mortal sin. I mean, how can we repair the damage of killing the Son of God? So we hold our little buckets, maybe, and do the best we can. It's something we need to do that. It's natural. It's good. Question 421. What kinds of punishment are due to sin? Well, two kinds are due to sin: the eternal punishment of hell due to unforgiven mortal sins, and temporal punishment lasting only for a time due to venial sins and also to mortal sins after they have been forgiven. Eternal punishment is God's angry punishment, which balances the scales of justice upset by sin. This punishment is reserved for those in hell, since they refuse to let God correct them on earth. Temporal punishment is God's loving corrective punishment, like medicine a mother gives a child. This punishment is given either on earth or in purgatory. So, breaking a window by a foolish, unthinking act, really that's a venial sin, and the punishment is temporal. It lasts but a little time. The glass is picked up and the window repaired. But eternal punishment is for those who eternally refuse to repent. Now, this might be quite mysterious. How can that be? I might at this point recommend to you an interesting little book written by C.S. Lewis, Clive Stapleton Lewis, who was an English man of letters, who wrote a marvelous little book called The Great Divorce. So if you'd like to read about this, I think he explains rather well why there are some people who eternally refuse to repent, which is a horrific thing to even think about.